On September 2nd, 2014, a gruesome video came out of the Middle East. It was a video that showed a man named Stephen Sutloff as he was beheaded. The group that sent it out was the Islamic State, or ISIS as they were also known, and maybe the most disturbing thing about this was not the first video of this nature that they sent out. They had done this to other innocent people. It seems like they are a group that just revels in unnatural violence and gore. But here's what I want you to picture as we start out this sermon. Imagine that you find yourselves in the Middle Eastern city of Aleppo, and God has sent you there with a mission. You're to go to those same people and to tell them to repent, otherwise God will destroy them. How would you feel about that? I know how I would feel. I would be terrified. I would be terrified to be in that situation, and I bet that you would be too. It would be terrifying to first be among a people that I really don't know much about their customs or their way of life. And then there's that lingering, haunting sort of idea out there that maybe there are people here who want to hurt me or perhaps even kill me. If I think about it long enough, I might also come to the conclusion that maybe these people don't deserve to hear God's word. Outside of that same city, many, many years before it was called Aleppo, back when it was still Nineveh, one of God's prophets sat on a hillside pouting. He was indignant and angry. This was a fire that was kindled in him already back when he first heard the call from God, "Go to Nineveh, Jonah." But rather than follow God's commands, Jonah did the exact opposite. He took off in the opposite direction, heading as far as he possibly could away from the city of Nineveh. He got on a boat and started sailing across the sea. Jonah acts a little bit like a spoiled child might do with their parents. It's as if he's saying, if I can't get what I want, then nobody can get what they want. But Jonah's problem is deeper than just his actions. It gets right to the heart of his relationship with the Lord. And so as he is out on the sea, the sailors and Jonah have to confront some enormous waves, a mysterious depth below them, just a terrible storm that comes out of nowhere. And Jonah knows why it's there. And when he tells the sailors about his God, a small miracle occurs. Those sailors are brought to faith by the Holy Spirit. They believe in the true God. It is a miracle that foreshadows the greater one that is about to happen. They throw Jonah into the sea, where he's swallowed by an enormous fish. We don't know what kind of fish, but some fish that's big enough to swallow a human being whole, and also for that human being to live in its stomach for 3 days. Jonah, there in the literal depths of his life, he finds humility and repentance. But it's not to last, because this grief that he has with God, it's still there. Jonah knows that he still has a job to do. And so, covered in fishy goo, Jonah arrives back on shore and he heads to Nineveh, but he drags his feet the whole way because he doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to preach to these people. And when he finally gets there and he does preach, his message is half-hearted. But you know what? It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit still uses his word to convert the entire city of Nineveh. I know when we think about the story of Jonah, oftentimes people focus on the giant fish. But that is not the most impressive thing that happens in this story. This is. It is far more amazing that an entire city is converted. But Jonah is hardly jubilant. In fact, this is the exact opposite of what he wanted to happen. At dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plants so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head, so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, It would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said, and I'm so angry I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? There's the Lord's patience. Jonah, Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about this plant? Jonah replied, you bet. You bet, God. In fact, I'm so angry that you should just kill me now. Can you imagine saying something like that to God? Something like, God, I don't care what you think. God, I don't care to see my own need for mercy or the anger inside of my heart. I just want what I want. And the things Jonah says, they seem so dramatic. You like want to reach into the story and shake Jonah a little bit and say, Jonah, it was just a plant. That's what God's trying to do. Jonah, it was just a plant. What about this city? So many people who need mercy. Can you sense Jonah's problem? His problem is not the worm or the dead plant. It's not the sun or the east wind. It's not his thirst or even his melodramatic attitude. Jonah has a problem that is deep in his heart. Because he sees these Ninevites. He sees how cruel they are. And he hates them. When he thinks about them and whether or not they should be saved, he thinks that it's the exact opposite. God should have punished these people a long time ago. He should have wiped them out long before Jonah ever came to Nineveh. Can you sense what Jonah's problem is? He thinks that these people don't deserve God's mercy. And what's even worse is that in his self-righteousness, Jonah believes these people, they don't deserve God's mercy, but he is entitled to it. He believes that he does deserve God's mercy, and he can't see what is in the Lord's heart. So God has a lesson for Jonah as he sits on that hillside. He doesn't leave him there just to brood. Instead, he wants Jonah to see that every single person needs his mercy, and no one is entitled to it, even if you are God's own prophet. And up to this point, God and Jonah, they both had something in common. They were both very concerned about something. But Jonah was concerned about a dead plant. And that's kind of where the comparison stops. The plant was really of no consequence. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. It didn't really matter. And yet, Jonah was still so angry about the whole situation. Yet, could he not see God's concern about this city? Could he not see how sad God would be if these people were destroyed? Was he so unaware of his own need for mercy that he would deny it to others? Was he so unaware of what was in God's heart? Jonah was partly right, though. Those Ninevites, they did not deserve God's mercy. But neither did Jonah. For that matter, neither do you. I think that's why it's good for us to read this story, so that we can heed the warning that God is giving to us here, to make sure that we do not fall into the same trap that Jonah does. When you see God's mercy in the lives of other people, don't grow jealous of it. Don't covet it. In fact, even if you remember a passage like this one, God sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you ever look at unbelievers and wonder something like, why them, God? Maybe perhaps it would be better for you to wonder if you are not just like Jonah, sitting under a dead plant hating the grace of God. Maybe a way for you to examine yourself about this is to simply ask, what are the signs of some kinds of people that you don't really want to associate with? Maybe they don't really take care of their lawn and it's overgrown and looks bad. Maybe you're worried it brings down your property's value. Maybe they sit out in the backyard, chain-smoking cigarettes surrounded by empty beer cans. Maybe talking to them would be awkward. Maybe they're just different than you. Maybe if you spent time or associated with them, other people would start talking about you. And if you think thoughts like that about anyone, and we could go on, you're thinking thoughts just like Jonah. If you were to ask Jonah, do you feel entitled to what God has given you? Jonah, do you feel like you deserve God's mercy? Jonah would probably give the right answer. He would probably say, no, of course not. And that's right, but Jonah doesn't act like it. Instead, think about what he does. He runs away. He doesn't want to preach. When he does preach, it's half-hearted. When a great miracle occurs, he goes and sits outside of the city and waits to see if maybe God will change his mind about destroying these people anyway. Even if Jonah has the right answer, he doesn't act like it. So instead, consider what the Psalms say. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. Dear child of God, here's what you should do. Pray to God these words. Teach me to hate my own sin more than I hate the sin of others. Teach me to hate my own sin more than I hate the sin of others. Because God has shown mercy to you as well. Those Ninevites, they came to faith just hearing the message of Jonah, even though it was a half-hearted sermon. But you know the fulfillment of God's grace in Jesus Christ. When his wrath stood poised to destroy you, just like it was going to destroy those Ninevites, Jesus redirected it unto himself. He was the one who was crushed and destroyed for you, in your place. And that, my friends, is God's mercy. And you have a Lord that loves showing mercy. When you remember just how merciful God has been in your life, and you see it in the lives of others as well, don't be jealous, don't covet it. Instead, celebrate it. Rejoice that you have a God that loves showing mercy. Just as an example, imagine how different this story would be if Jonah had done that. This is the very last verses of the book of Jonah. What happens after this, we don't really know. This is where God ends the story. But imagine how different it would be if Jonah celebrated God's mercy to the Ninevites. So that he arrives to the city for the first time and he starts his preaching. And he puts everything he is into it. The people, they hear the message, and miracle of miracles, every single person is converted. From the king all the way down to the smallest child. They put on sackcloth. They sit in ashes. And Jonah, he sees all of this and he has the opportunity to tell these people about God's mercy and forgiveness. That they are forgiven in his eyes. And all of the people, they hear this message and they believe it. They are excited. They plan a celebration. And so, there, Jonah finds that God's mercy is true. Rejoice with God and the angels as the Ninevites repent. And they throw a huge celebration that God has relented from destroying them. And there in the midst, celebrating with all of them, is Jonah. Unworried about anything else, instead rejoicing in God's grace and forgiveness. Is he worrying about maybe what he's going to find when he comes back home? And the Israelites hear about how he converted a whole city of their enemies? Maybe, but who cares? God is merciful. Unfortunately, that's not the story that we have. Instead, this is an example of what not to do. And so, friends, in our case, let us love the Lord who loves to show mercy. And let us love the mercy that he shows. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Let us love mercy too, because our Lord loves showing mercy. Amen.